During the biggest fire catastrophe in Canadian history, on June 2nd, there were over 100 forest fires in Quebec, with 10 of them out of control. The province's fire prevention agency says it only has the ability to fight 30 fires. This massive outbreak of fires was captured by longtime geological watchdog YouTube channel, Dutch Sensei.
Here's last night. Here's today. All of southeast Quebec just caught on fire, guys. All of it. Insane. Insane. Look at that. The whole thing. All at once.
Michael Janich of the Dutch Sensei channel has been monitoring earthquakes and other geological activity for years, successfully predicting earthquakes and issuing warnings when the USGS won't. Janich has often reported on fires that break out along the edge of the plate craton, or fires that break out around volcanoes.
All the way across central Mexico from over here, following all the way across over to here. All fires, all at once, all yesterday. Not normal. We don't normally see this. So that being said, I want to just show you what's there, and we'll just go zoom in from over here all the way across to here. Let's just zoom in the middle. Well, we could start over on the left side, or in the middle, you'll see a bunch of little dots on the ground. As I zoom in, you'll see they're changed from dots to actual volcanoes. These are all volcanoes. Every single one of these, the big ones and the small ones.
And he's captured images of what appears to be directed energy weapons sparking California wildfires in 2020. But the fires from last week were not along the edge of the craton or near a volcano, as far as we know. The only other explanations would be that it was man-made, and there was no sign of a directed energy weapon.
It's not just a Canadian forest fire problem anymore. I'm going to have to say it, guys. It looks like you got a problem going on up there that might be related to, I don't know. What do you think? You think that these fires might be related to, I don't know. What do you think? Terrorism? Directed energy weapon? War? The Russians? Chinese? What? Ourselves? All the above? Whatever. This level? You're going to burn out everybody? You're going to burn out all the natural wildlife and everything? Come on, man. Even if you're an anarchist or something, come on, guys. Look, dude, I don't see you burning down the Federal Reserve. Not that you want to. I'm not telling you to. I didn't say that.
There was evidence of arson in the American West Coast wildfires. And U.S. climate czar John Kerry just called out for his instinct rebellion mob to be more militant.
We have to fight on multiple fronts simultaneously. This is the biggest organizational effort that I think we have faced, certainly since World War II, but perhaps ever. We got to push more. We got to be more militant, maybe.
Just like California and Australia, these fires will be blamed on cow farts and human civilization. The captured government of Canada is telling the people to stay out of the woods. They are ignoring volunteer firemen and asking Trudeau for the military and foreign workers to rebuild. The New World Order needs an excuse to lock us down one more time, and this could be it. Burning people out of their homes is an old tactic used for stealing their land. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Folks, as always, you can find and share that video at band.video. Fantastic stuff. All of South Quebec simultaneously erupted in flames. What do you think it could possibly have been? I mean, aside from direct energy weapons, I don't even get how you coordinate. I mean, they all erupted within 10 minutes across the entire province. Like, unless this was a military operation, I'm at a loss. Who knows? All I know is that you need to eat bugs. You need to kill all your cows, and you can't go 15 minutes away from your home without express permission from the government. That'll save us, I'm sure. We'll be back, folks. Talk about all this and more. Don't go anywhere. All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. A lot to talk about today. We'll be taking your phone calls. Of course, we'll be joined in the third hour by Ethan Schmidt. He's the... I guess it depends on where you're coming from. Brave patriot standing up against the corporate indoctrination of children, or the domestic terrorist showing disrespect to our state religion, the blasphemer against the LGBT cult? He's the guy that goes around Target and knocks down the rainbow signs. It's pretty hilarious. We'll talk to him about it. We'll talk about a lot of other stuff, too. A lot of stuff about Ukraine again today. More fallout from the dam collapse. No nuclear fallout quite yet. No literal fallout to speak of yet. But we'll see. We'll see about that, and we'll look at some of the reaction to that. Let's just begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 8th of June, 2023. Air quality concerns continue as Canadian wildfire smoke covers the Northeast. After a day of orange haze that cast a pall over New York City, obscuring some of the country's best-known landmarks with smoke from Canadian wildfires, New Yorkers and others were in store for another day of bad air Thursday. The smoke in major metro areas, including Boston, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., really all over the Northeast, was expected to continue through the day and cause unhealthy air for all groups, the National Weather Service said. Mayor Eric Adams called the situation unprecedented, with air quality advisories in place for all five boroughs of the city of more than 8 million people. Absolutely apocalyptic images coming out of New York City. And it seems like a joke, but the Democrats are literally blaming this on climate change. It's beyond description. So bizarre. President Biden blamed this on climate change. Chuck Schumer gave a speech where he was blaming this on climate change. It's just what? They don't even try to like connect it to climate change. It's just any negative or you know detrimental weather event from now on is because you like electricity, I guess. It's because you don't eat bugs. That's why all of these things are happening. They don't even try to come up with some sort of roundabout, circuitous justification for that claim like they do with something like CO2. We can take like 9 leaps of logic and actually have some semblance of justification for saying that it's climate change. But in this case, it's just somebody starts a fire, that's climate change. This is how it happens. A hurricane hits the coast, that's also climate change. Tornadoes that have existed all of time. No, now it's down there. Climate change. Volcano erupting, probably climate change. It's all climate change. Don't ask questions. Just shut up and surrender your sovereignty because climate change. We'll get into that a little bit more, into a little bit more detail later. Meanwhile, in Ukraine, this guy, Kharkova Dam, is from The Guardian. Zelensky visits flood-hit region and criticizes international response. Just the whiner-in-chief of Volodymyr Zelensky. You blew up your own dam. Dude, we get it. We know. Not that complicated to figure out. But it's never like, it's just always our fault with this guy. Just everything that happens, it's because we haven't given him enough money. Just everything. Ever know anybody like this in your own life? Probably not, because you probably wouldn't be friends with him anymore. But yeah, Zelensky visited the flood-hit southern region to evaluate the damage of the breach and severely criticized the UN and the Red Cross, who he said they weren't helping the relief effort. It's an active war zone, Zelensky. And this is an active war zone of your own making, so maybe deal with it yourself. Or just resign and let this war end. These are options that you have. But no, they're just like, it's like 2 hours after the dam explodes. Zelensky's just like, where are they? Why aren't they helping? Why aren't people from thousands of miles away, totally unrelated to us, why aren't they doing all of this work? Why aren't they protecting us and helping us and giving us even more billions of dollars? Just this whiny little scumbag. We'll get into him a little bit more later. But we'll move on for now. Oversight chairman halts plan to advance Wray contempt proceedings following deal over FBI document. House Oversight Chairman James Comer is scrapping his plans to hold FBI Director Christopher Wray in contempt of Congress after the two sides reached an agreement over an FBI document that includes an unverified allegation that Joe Biden, while vice president, was involved in a bribery scheme involving a foreign national. Comer, a Kentucky Republican, accepted the FBI's offer to allow all members on the House Oversight Panel to view the internal law enforcement document he initially subpoenaed, known as FD 1023, in exchange for halting contempt proceedings. The FBI will also make two additional documents available to Comer and the top Democrat on the panel, Representative Jamie Raskin, according to Comer's statement announcing the agreement. As a result of the deal, Comer removed Thursday's scheduled committee meeting to refer Wray for contempt from the schedule, which I don't like. I don't like this. The dude is still in contempt. He still did not meet your demands for not holding him in contempt. You coward. This is like the red line. He's like, you have to provide, you have to do these things. We are Congress. We are the oversight. We are your bosses. So do this or we're going to hold you in contempt. We're going to use our power as granted to us by our voters to make sure that you're doing things in an appropriate way. They don't do what he demands, but they've come to some sort of middling agreement. Hold them in contempt. Why not? What do you have to lose? This man obviously holds you in contempt. He obviously does have contempt for Congress. This is like kind of a sort of like defining struggle of the American actually elected government to retain its constitutional authority over the deep state. This isn't really about getting to see a document or not. It's about whether the American people have control over the government or whether the government has control of the people. Maybe you should start treating this with the seriousness that it deserves. Get into that a little later as well. But hey, speaking of just an out of control, completely rogue FBI, Twitter files say the FBI worked with Ukraine to censor Twitter users, including journalists. The FBI sent Twitter an email from a Ukrainian intelligence asking the social media platform to ban journalists and users critical of Ukraine and turn over their user data specified during the registration, according to the later Twitter files leak. The FBI aided in a Ukrainian intelligence effort to ban Twitter users and collect their data. Twitter declined to censor journalists targeted by Ukraine, including Aaron Mate. In March 2022, a FBI special agent sent Twitter a list of accounts on behalf of the SBU, Ukraine's main intelligence agency. The accounts, the FBI wrote, are suspected by the FBU in spreading fear and disinformation. Just open censorship, this time on behalf of a foreign government by our FBI. Absolutely traitorous. Absolutely traitorous people running our country. I really just can't even fathom how we got to this place and why nobody else seems to be treating this with the seriousness it deserves. It's like they're watching a ball game or something. Oh, well, we'll do this move, and then they'll do this move, and then we'll come to an agreement over here, and then we'll do this over here. And it's like, how about you assert your authority over the FBI before we are just irrevocably and irreversibly under the control of unelected, unaccountable, shadowy deep state actors? How about we just take this country back rather than play footsie with the people trying to destroy us? Can we do that, please, for the love of God? Finally, we have this story. California Senate passes bill preventing employees to confront shoplifters. Last week, the California Senate passed a bill that makes it illegal for businesses to require their employees to confront shoplifters. Senate Bill 553, introduced by State Senator Dave Cortez, focuses on strengthening the occupational safety by addressing workplace violence and expanding the scope of protection and prevention measures. In other words, they came out and announced that they would not charge shoplifters under a certain amount. That boosted shoplifting. That made it unsafe for the workers. Now they're punishing the workers. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. We're talking about these wildfires that are happening in Canada. What could be the cause of these wildfires? What could it possibly be? Now, the Democrats are eager to tell us that it's climate change. What's their justification for that? Who could possibly say? It's hot. fire's hot. I mean, I don't know. It's sort of complicated, I guess. Honestly, what is their justification for saying that this is climate change? I mean, it literally just makes no sense. Like, even if you believe in climate change, if you are fully bought into the climate change narrative, how are wildfires a result of climate change? Maybe if it's like the temperature actually raises a lot, but even, you know, the temperature raising, the whole reason why they fearmonger about that is because the ice would melt and the water would rise, which isn't happening.
Well, climate change is, right, their catch-all blanket statement,
yeah.
But they're going on the assumption that certain climates would become more arid or more dry, right, as weather patterns change, because it's climate change.
Maybe, like, eventually that would happen, but it's not like a 1 degree temperature change this year means the entire forest is ready to explode, right?
Have you seen An Inconvenient Truth?
Yeah. We need Al Gore on the line. Get Al Gore on the emergency phone. Maybe he can explain this to us. We should pull the video. Chuck Schumer gave a statement about this. I don't know if I can say a speech, but certainly a statement. And the videos from the smoke that this is causing is absolutely incredible. We can go down to clip number 7. Is a time lapse of wildfire smoke consuming the World Trade Center in the New York City skyline. Let's watch that. You see the New York City skyline just engulfed in smog until it's no longer visible. But you know what? Seeing great distances is frankly white supremacy. Why should you expect to have clear air when there are places like Delhi in India that are smoggy all the time? You ever seen Beijing? Yeah, they have to put up like giant TV screens showing a CGI version of Beijing in nice weather so tourists can have something to take a picture of, because they're constantly shrouded in smog. And that's just the way things are supposed to be. And if you think that you are so privileged that you deserve to see a great distance, no. No, sweetie, actually, that's your white supremacy talking, and you are supposed to not be able to see more than like a city block. That's the future. NBC News has the story. Air quality concerns continue as Canadian wildfire smoke covers the Northeast after a day of orange haze that cast a pall over New York City, obscuring some of the country's best-known landmarks with smoke from Canadian wildfires. New Yorkers and others were in store for another bad day of air Thursday. Day of bad air Thursday. The smoke in major metro areas, including Boston, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and elsewhere, is expected to continue through the day and cause unhealthy air for all groups, the National Weather Service said. It is absolutely unprecedented, this event taking place. And I'd seen the video, and we played it a little bit yesterday. I think maybe we even mentioned it the day before, of the satellite image of all of these fires starting simultaneously, literally all at once in various different locations. Here's the video here. It was a video that is like so crazy and inexplicable that I didn't even play it because I wanted to do more research. It's the type of thing that it's so, like, it's like too blatant, like too good to be true kind of thing, where I see this and I'm like, I can't go to air with this. I can't just show this video and say, look, this is real. This is what's because I got to do some research because it looks too good to be true. It looks like this is something fake. If you were trying to make something to cause, you know, a conspiracy where there wasn't one, like you would make something like this. But apparently it's real. Apparently it's real. I couldn't confirm it at the time, so I didn't want to show it without being sure. But I guess this is legit. It's been confirmed. Here you're seeing it if you're a TV viewer. If you're not, for the radio viewers, I mean, it's just a satellite image of an entire province, the entire province of Quebec, which is a huge, huge province. And these fires all start simultaneously at exactly the same time across the entire thing, the entire province. This comes from a YouTube video, and of course, this is why InfoWars is so valuable, because while I'm trying to cover all, you know, big swath of news and trying to cover a little bit of everything, we've got Greg Reese, who can just dedicate the resources to actually investigating this, and he came out with that great video that we played in the first 5 minutes of this hour. But let's go to clip number 13 here. Satellite images show that fires erupted in Quebec all started at exactly the same time. Here's the YouTube I believe this is from Wide Awake Media is where I first got this. But let's watch and we'll hear the breakdown.
Look up here in the upper right-hand corner. Watch this. Throughout the day today, a giant outbreak of fires has taken place across a whole Canadian province all at once. Look up to the northeast, up here in Quebec. All of Quebec just caught on fire all at once on a clear day. I would say this would be some kind of terrorism of some kind or an attack. Here it is. Here we are. I'm going to let the images load. You can see this morning it's clear. Just partly cloudy skies. Nothing really crazy going on there. And then, well, there's last night. Here's today. All of southeast Quebec just caught on fire, guys. All of it. Insane. Insane. Look at that. The whole thing. All at once.
So that I guess that was from the Dutch Sense YouTube video. Gregory says Sensei. I always thought it was Dutch Sense. Yeah, you can see it. So, I mean, this is one of those things where, like, any normal person, any reasonable, logical person would watch that video and go, this is a mystery. This is something that needs to be explained. Something is happening here that's not natural, that's not normal, and we need some sort of answer as to what's going on here. Of course, that's not the way the mainstream media is covering it, and nobody in the media at all, as far as I can tell, even pointing out how strange and bizarre this is. They are all very quick to claim it's climate change, try to use it to progress that idea. I can't believe, can you imagine being somebody that buys into the climate change agenda, just living in constant fear and apprehension, and just everything that happens, you think it's humanity's fault, and you know, just this constant, like, fear porn propaganda that comes across is totally absurd. But this is really just the beginning. So all we know is that all of these wildfires broke out across Quebec all at exactly the same time. I have no good explanation for this other than a coordinated attack. If anybody has any better ideas, I mean, what else could it be? Was there a meteor that broke up and you had flaming bits of space rock fall down and cause these fires? It'd be the only natural thing I could imagine that would actually cause this. But that's not what happened, is it? No, what happened is these fires were probably set, and we have a whole lot of past evidence of that happening to point to this conclusion. All right, folks, a mystery is afoot. We have a mystery to solve. What has caused all of the state of Quebec to erupt into flames at exactly the same time? Like, exactly the same time. Not on the same day, but within like 10 minutes of each other. They almost happen so simultaneously that it's like, I mean, was this a military operation? Everybody set their watches. They're all on one big group call, ready to light the fire at exactly the same time. It absolutely makes no sense. Of course, this isn't suspicious at all, I guess, to the people in authority. No, they're certain that this is climate change. I just can't even... I don't know how to deal with these people. Like, I don't know how to deal with people like this. It makes no sense. I mean, just none of this makes any sense. Here's what President Biden said yesterday. This was yesterday evening. President Biden says, we've deployed more than 600 U.S. firefighters, support personnel, and equipment to support Canada as they respond to record wildfires, events that are intensifying because of the climate crisis. But what? So again, they've got this narrative the poly crisis, of which the primary one is the climate crisis, that they say causes a whole bunch of other crises as well as a mental health crisis. They're very concerned about your mental health, how that affects especially things, you know, people like children who don't know any better and are being raised, told that their very existence is destroying the earth and killing all the cute little animals. Just traumatizing everyone. And of course, the solution is central bank digital currency and vaccines, I'm sure. Again, I literally don't even know how to deal with this. Did y'all pull in the Chuck Schumer? Let's go to this Chuck Schumer speech. Here's Chuck Schumer blaming these wildfires on climate change as well. Just, I mean, you want to talk about a conspiracy theory. These people, it's not even, this is like somebody that just really thinks that, like, aliens are behind everything. Right? I mean, you might as well just say aliens are like Bigfoot. Like, just replace climate change with Bigfoot. And that's why I have a hard time dealing with this. Like, can you imagine living in a world where the president of the United States was like, we've deployed 600 U.S. firefighters to support Canada as they respond to record wildfires, events that are intensifying because of Bigfoot. You're just like, what? Like, I can't, like, argue against that. It's just baffling. So I don't know what to do here. So here's Chuck Schumer telling everybody that Bigfoot is behind the wildfires. Let's watch.
These Canadian wildfires are truly unprecedented. And we cannot ignore that climate change continues to make these disasters worse. Warmer temperatures and severe droughts mean forests burn faster, burn hotter, and burn bigger. And the warming is happening at a faster pace in countries with higher latitudes. None of this is coincidence. This smoke and fog over New York and the rest of the Northeast is a warning from nature that we have a lot of work to do to reverse the destruction of climate change.
Again, so just baselessly blaming this on climate change has literally nothing to do with it, but that's what they're going to say. So let's get into what this might actually have been caused by. This is a very interesting article by John Carter, Canada Burning, on barsoom.substack.com. He says, normally this hour I'd be at the gym. However, I woke up to the smell of wood smoke in a sky that looks like, you know, just orange smog. The air quality is noticeably terrible. It doesn't feel like a great time for devotions in the Iron Temple. There are currently over 100 fires raging throughout Quebec and now Ontario. The number goes up every time I go to check Google. Last time I saw it was around 160. The closest is just over 100 kilometers from where this author is located. Wildfires on this scale at this point in the year are, in my experience, unprecedented. Tens of thousands of people in outlying communities have already been evacuated. So far, about 3.5 million hectares have already burned. This is hugely damaging. But you can see from this graph the typical path that wildfire hotspots would take. And just a massive rise. I mean, this is like you're looking at a, you know, chart of the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated in COVID. I mean, it's noticeable. It's obvious. It's extreme and unprecedented, at least in the near history. It says, as you can see, not only are we on track for the worst wildfire season on record, the temporal pattern is completely out of step with what we normally see. And every other year, wildfire season is mid-August, mid-July at the earliest. The beginning of June is unheard of. Of course, the usual suspects are blaming this on the climate emergency slash crisis slash catastrophe. Carbon dioxide concentrations have finally gotten out of hand. The tipping point has been reached, and Canada is burning as a result. Cue Greta waving her hands in the air like a Ron Paul meme. It's happening. You should have eaten the bugs, damn you. A cricket a day keeps the wrath of Earth Mammy at bay. Again, totally ridiculous. But let's look into some precedent for this and even some occurrences in Canada this year that may point to what could be behind this. From the 2nd of June, just under a week ago, RCMP believes three fires in Pictou County early Friday were deliberately set. These are fires in Alma, Granton, and Mount William. They say they respond to a call of a structure fire on Highway 4. An hour later, a second fire was reported in Granton. A third fire was reported a short time later in Mount William. RCMP learned that recycling bags had been set on fire at the side of the road in that case. The Mounties say their initial investigation determined all three fires were the result of arson. Authorities now asking anyone with information about the incidents to contact police. So obviously, these fires are still raging. The investigations haven't been done, but those that have been investigated have been seen to be arson. Alberta RCMP searched for suspect in Grand Prairie arson. This from the 3rd of June. I believe this is a different fire than the ones we just covered, but a fourth fire was started by arson. Witnesses report seeing a man wearing all black with a white shirt around his shoulder, lighting the fire and walking away from the scene. So wearing the Antifa uniform, I guess, lighting things on fire. Cold Lake area man facing 10 arson charges after a string of wildfires. This is from May of this year. On April 30th, 2023, police arrested and charged John Cook with 10 counts of arson as he was remanded into custody and set to appear in court on May 10th in Cold Lake. Okay, so what's that? What's the count up to? 14 fires this year in the last 2 months, all started by arson. Interesting. Woman arrested and charged with multiple counts of arson. This is from last year, actually, May 2022. Multiple counts of arson following a joint investigation between BC RCMP and BC Wild Service. Started multiple, she's a 42-year-old woman, multiple fires she started that raged out of control. Woman arrested for intentionally setting fires in woods near Sook, British Columbia. This from, again, the end of May this year, so just more. So far, in June and May of this year, you had the three fires in that one area, another search for an arsonist that was seen wearing all black with a shirt over his shoulders, starting a fire and walking away. And then another guy arrested for starting 10 fires in May. And then another woman starting fires elsewhere in British Columbia at the end of May. So, I mean, this is a trend now. I mean, this has gone from singular, out of context, or out of pattern events to something is happening here. Why in 2 months do you have, I mean, I don't even know how many, she's two, so that's, what up to 16 now? 16 fires in just the last 2 months, all that have been caused by arson. And then you have all of Quebec erupt in flames in what seems to be a coordinated arson attack on the entire province. But that's just the beginning. There's a lot more to get into on the other side. So stay with us. We'll tell you about what's actually happening and how the media is actually trying to cover it up for some reason. That's weird. We're talking about these wildfires, what could have caused them. And we're just treating this like anybody should. Just a very suspicious outbreak of unexplained fires across the entire province. Totally unnatural. Maybe we should look into who could be behind it, since it seems to be the work of human invention, some sort or another. Now, it's not speculation. It's something that we really have to go into the past for, although there is a lot of precedent to this. But again, in just the last 2 months, less than that, right, the last month and a week, so the 8th of June, these all happened in May and June of this year. So in May and June of this year, RCMP believes three fires in Pictou County early Friday were deliberately set. That's Alma, Granton, and Mount William fires were all deliberately set, they say. No suspects in that case. Then you have the Alberta RCMP searching for a suspect in the Grand Prairie arson. That would be a fourth arson attempt. You have a Cold Lake area man facing 10 arson counts after a string of wildfires. Again, this May of this year, 10 wildfires starting because of arson. And, you know, there's an article a couple years ago about how basically all of the fires in California were all started by humans, but it was always sort of waffling, always sort of vague on whether it was arson or whether it was just people camping. So it was human started, but it was an accident. Either way, you know, it's either like homeless people camping and not taking care of their camping site and starting fires, or it's there's like videos of citizens confronting people who
were like caught trying to start fires in California. It's like a kind of common thing in California. And Greg Reese mentioned that in his report about the California wildfires. But specifically in Canada, this is a trend that extends there as well. A woman arrested and charged with multiple counts of arson again. Well, this was May of last year, actually. So it does continue. Charges laid in a series of intentionally set Alberta wildfires, residential arsons. This again, May 4th of this year. Cold Lake RCMP, Alberta Forestry and Parks. Okay, so just not exactly a ridiculous thing to believe when you have such overwhelming precedent. May of this year, once again, just a little over a week ago, woman arrested for intentionally setting fires in the woods near Sook, BC. So, I mean, that's like 20 examples in the last 30 days of wildfires being set intentionally by arsonists in Canada. Just in case you were wondering. It's easy to find this information. You know, you do go to Google and you type wildfire arson Canada and all of these pop up. This is the depth of research that we're able to achieve here. It's really not, like, none of this is even that difficult to find. It's just the mainstream media wants to call it climate change and sort of flies in the face of climate change when you have people starting wildfires on purpose. Some of these people start quite a few. Alberta woman faces 32 arson charges after wildfire investigation. Now, this was in 2021, but the offenses took place over the span of 2 months, and this one woman started no less than 32 wildfires. A 54-year-old woman from Glendon, Alberta. It's just like this just happens constantly, I guess. Pretty wild. Pretty insane. Of course, the mainstream media is very concerned that you might notice this. This is from 2020, but it shows that this phenomenon is not new by any means. New York Times, false rumors that activists set wildfires exasperate officials. Law enforcement agency said claims on social media that anti-fascist activists had set fires on the West Coast were unfounded. But of course they weren't, and actually many of those fires were investigated and did find that they were started on purpose, and the people arrested were in fact associated with Antifa or left-wing causes, and they had started those fires on purpose. But before they investigate it, right there, the New York Times is writing articles saying this isn't what's happening. Stop trying to protect your neighborhood. That's what would happen is you had people posting videos and statements saying, I saw somebody start this fire. I saw people dressed in black, like Antifa types, starting this fire and running away, just, you know, the whole Antifa get up. And then, that would spread on social media. And so people around these areas would see like suspicious characters going into the woods, not dressed for the woods, right? Clearly just like some hipsters who live downtown going into the woods, with no gear or anything, dressed in all black, taking their lighters into the woods. And the, citizens would go confront them and be like, what the hell are you doing? Get out of here. You're trying to start fires. And since they would stop them from starting the fires, people could go, I didn't start a fire. What, me? No, I would never. And it doesn't get investigated and it goes on. So, I mean, this is like a very regular thing. Very, very regular thing. But it may have been exasperated by something. It may have been made worse by another aspect of the liberal mind virus. This revelation comes from L, some B I know, regular guest on the show. She says, are we just pretending like this didn't happen? And links two articles, one of which says this: Women's Fire Conference in Banff aims to break down barriers in male-dominated industry. I've had lots of candid conversations with women that are really struggling, that face misogyny, sexism, discrimination, unfortunately harassment and assault, who want to leave the service. So they have to change things in order to, save the feelings of the women that want to fight fires, I guess. So they did. They lowered the standards. They move things around. Instead of having just the dudes that do this extremely well, you have activist women saying that if you don't let me do this, that means you're misogynist. So they let them do it. Now the whole state is on fire. Plans for Banff's main prescribed burn on hold after fire gets out of control. This was I don't see a date here. It says it was yesterday, but I think that's because this article was archived at some point. So I'm not sure exactly what the date is on this, but this is essentially the outcome of the last one that you saw. Right. Step one, a woman complains that because she's a woman, she's not allowed to be in charge of the firefighting crew. The leftist activists forced people to go, all right, fine, you can do it, I guess. What's the worst that could happen? And then you have uncontrolled, supposedly, you know, supposed to be controlled burns that just get out of hand. Quote, it's unfortunate that the prescribed burn became out of control because we because we fully understand that these things can happen due to southern weather shifts in the mountains, said Banff Fire Chief Silvio Adamo. Yeah, it's just one of those things that happens, right? Just one of those things. This also happened in New Mexico earlier this year. Was it last year? Yeah, it was May of last year. U.S. Forest Service planned burn caused the largest New Mexico wildfire. The Calf Canyon and Hermit Peaks fire, which emerged, started as prescribed burns intended to prevent wildfires, federal officials said. It's just like a regular thing that happens when you have just incompetent, overstretched government trying to do things that they're not qualified for, I guess. This was a wildfire in northern New Mexico that destroyed at least 330 homes and displaced thousands of people. It was caused by the U.S. Forestry Service. That was the official line from the federal fire investigators. And you have things like this from last year as well. Serial arsonist admits to setting wildfires in California forests, officials say. Don't you love the kind of before and after? Don't you love jumping from, like, New York Times? False rumors that activists set wildfires exasperate officials. And it's like, and actually it was a serial arsonist that admitted to setting the wildfires in California, and the people claiming that were right the entire time. And the New York Times was, in a way, sort of complicit with this by demonizing and attacking the people who had noticed what was going on and were trying to prevent it. But it was probably climate change. But probably you should cull your cows. We should sell all of our farmland to China so they can raise gene-modified pigs in an apartment building rather than, you know, have cows wandering around on a grass field. That's the real issue here. And this article from John Carter on Barsoom.substack points out how ridiculous this climate change narrative is, pointing out that this year is not unseasonably warm or dry compared to historic averages. Everything's actually fairly normal, as it always has been. However, then you have this amazing coincidence of these massive fires erupting across all of Canada at exactly the same time. And it fits in with the pattern that we've seen over the last couple years of just about every wildfire at the end of the day going back to an old liberal activist probably trying to, you know, save the world from climate change by starting fires. All right, folks, we are going to move on from the wildfire topic. There's a lot of other stuff to discuss, including other ecological disasters caused by the United States government and then blamed on somebody else. You know, things like the Nord Stream pipeline or the dam that just exploded. I think that's really the point of this. There's nothing these people think is too far. There's nothing that these people would blanch at and go, oh, ooh, well, we can't do that. No, I mean, you realize we're dealing with just a superlative evil here. It's like impossible to explain. I mean, they're just evil. They're just willing to do anything because they're like religious fanatics. They're insane. So we will move on, but I want to read some of this article because I really think he lays it out well. Again, Barsoom, barsoom.substack.com. Canada Burning is the name of the article. He says, you know, there's no pattern here. He said, if that was the case, you'd expect last month to have been both unseasonably warm and dry compared to historical averages. But he says, where I am, nothing has felt particularly out of the ordinary. We had a warm week or so at the end of May, and while it hasn't rained much in the last 2 weeks, it rained plenty before that. That said, it was something of a dry winter and a bad wildfire season was expected out of the Rockies, out in the Rockies, due to the lack of precipitation. But then there's this satellite footage, which has been getting shared around, that we've played quite a few times. It really is an amazing coincidence that all those fires would start at more or less the same time. Perhaps if there'd been an epic lightning storm blanking the area, which there wasn't, or maybe a particularly large shower of meteors, although a cosmic impactor swarm large enough to set fires to the country would presumably have been seen by a lot of people, and there were only two reports for 2023 of the whole of Canada, the most recent being out of Alberta. Okay, so it probably wasn't one of those two things. And this is just how you actually solve a mystery. You go, okay, something happened here that requires explanation. Let's go through and see what fits and what doesn't. So far, none of the natural occurrences fit. He goes on to say, the only other way I can imagine that you'd have that many fires starting with such perfect synchronization is via coordinated human activity. If you go on social media, the other narrative vying for supremacy is the climate change crisis. Shrieking is that mostly deliberate arson. Yes, that's a crazy conspiracy theory. It's one that at least some police share. However, with local news in British Columbia, Alberta, and Nova Scotia reporting arrests of active investigations of suspicious activity, the Alberta government has assigned just under half of the wildfires to human activity with arrest under investigation. Wildfire arson isn't exactly unknown. I've seen reports in previous years, and this year as we just went over, of people setting fires in order to get jobs fighting the fires. And of course, not every human-initiated wildfire is deliberate. Accidents from unattended campfires or cigarette butts that weren't quite extinguished are hardly uncommon, but rednecks looking to get summer jobs at the local fire brigade don't seem like the type of bad actors that would possess this level of coordination. That leaves, as far as I can make out, three broad categories of perpetrators: a foreign state actor, the Canadian government itself, or non-state actors. A foreign state might be motivated by the intention to cause economic damage, but I find this somewhat unlikely. It doesn't seem like Russia or China's style. Damaging Canada's softwood lumber trade isn't likely to result in particular strategic advantage for them. An obvious candidate for non-state actor would be the eco-terrorist groups. Things like Extinction Rebellion, for example, might easily have concluded that Canada and other Western governments are not acting fast enough to shut down human activity and break the planet's fever. So why not give people a good scare, set a bunch of fires, and blame it on carbon? It's the sort of little white lie that zealots of their type can easily excuse to themselves. Would an eco-terrorist group really be capable of that level of coordination, though? We're talking a minimum of 100 people going to remote areas and setting fires all at once. Certainly, there are well more than 100 carbon cultists around the world, but that's a big difference between the levels of emotional buy-in that result in I should not eat meat and burn 3 million hectares of forest. There's also the competence question. As a rule, fanaticism and professionalism are inversely correlated. Not always, but the combination of ability and zealotry is fairly rare. State actors tend to be much more capable of coordinated atrocity on a mass scale. And he goes on to point out things like the Nord Stream pipeline that they blew up and then lied about as evidence that, I mean, these people are not beyond causing ecological catastrophes, massive disasters, to progress some sort of political or ideological agenda. So we're under attack, is my takeaway. Still a lot to talk about. We'll take your calls throughout this hour as well. If you want to call in, the number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. We're taking your calls throughout this hour, and we'll be joined in the third hour by Ethan Schmidt. Talk about activism. Talk about, what does Antifa call it? Direct action, something like that. Whatever. We have to couch our tactics in the phrases of the left, because I guess that's how you get away with it. I don't know. It's all very confusing. So yeah, we'll take your calls about any of these topics. We have a lot of videos to show you as well. In fact, let's move on to Pride Month, the month of June. You know that there's something like 174 days every year that are dedicated to some form of pride celebration? It's more than half the year, by the way. So more than half our year has some sort of federal holiday related to homosexual love. Crazy. You got the entire month of June, and then just like couple days a week, like Trans Visibility Day, Homoerotic Forgiveness Day. Like, who knows what they're coming up with, but it is our state religion at this point. It's ridiculous, just completely insane. You know, there's like a continuity between a lot of this, like, modern progressive, especially like sexualized activity that takes place. Carl Benjamin, aka Sargon of Akkad, posted this, and to me, this just all sort of relates together. He says, OnlyFans is a Faustian pact that ends with you giving your soul to Mistopheles. And it says, woman, big old, anyway, she says, nothing can prepare you for the moment you made an OnlyFans, that you made the OnlyFans money, but you still aren't happy, and now no man in the world is going to want you. See what happens. Tell me if this sounds familiar. You've got women that are unhappy with their lives for some reason. They're sold by the media and by social media and by corporations and by just the worst people in the world come to them like worm tongue in their ear and say, you know what will make you happy is if you get naked on the internet for strangers. They pay you a dollar and you reveal yourself to them. That'll make you really happy. You'll have money then, and then you'll be really happy. I guess they just like don't think this through. They do the thing. It doesn't make them happier, actually, but it's irreversible. It's like you can't go back in time and undo what you've done. So now, from now on, for the rest of your life, you actually want to get a decent man that is in support of this type of crap. You either have to hide that from him, have this like terrible secret that you hope he never finds out what you did when you were younger, or you have to tell him, and then he's going to be like, oh, I'm not interested in somebody who's done that before. And so you both haven't solved the problem you thought you were going to solve by believing the lie, and you've ruined your prospects of actual happiness by making that decision. It's a common theme we see across liberalism these days. I see a very similar pattern when it comes to transgenderism. You got some autistic kid or some tomboy girl going through puberty, feeling uncomfortable because, I don't know, she's a girl in middle school, and she gets told by her teachers or the books in the library or the cartoon show she watches or strange men on TikTok seducing her into believing that actually she's transgender. The parents, bewildered and confused by this, are told by the doctors that the crew just whipped that up. What is going on back there? Crew just whipped up this image of worm tongue whispering into the
faster than you can take your panties off.
Faster than I came up with it. They're pulling this stuff out. All right. Incredible stuff. InfoWarsStore.com. We got to keep this crew happy. What do we do without them? You've got them, convincing, some poor little girl that she is actually a man. And the parents are just like, what is happening? I've never heard of this. And the doctor is like, well, do you want your daughter to die? Your daughter's going to die if you don't transition her right now. And the parents are like, what? Okay, fine. Yes, whatever we have to do, our poor girl. And then they like fall for the lie. And the girl like chops her breasts off and starts taking puberty blockers. And it's an irreversible procedure that doesn't make her happy, actually. Gosh, who knew? It wasn't that she was born in the wrong body. It's not the reason she's sad. It's because it's a normal human behavior to be uncertain about yourself as you go through bodily change in a vulnerable time period. Like, you psychopaths, you absolute sickening monsters, you predators. But they fall for it and they get the change. It's irreversible and it doesn't make them happier. And you're left with a deformed, disfigured body for the rest of your life. And I guess the pharmaceutical companies make out like bandits. So this gets promoted. It's horrifying. It's depressing. It's happening constantly because these people are liars. These people are despicable, hateful liars that sell people deception that ruins their life. It doesn't solve the problem. And then they just move on and just leave just a trail of misery behind them as they get promoted by every corporation and every media outlet and every Democratic politician and every government in the Western world are promoting this satanic, Faustian agenda. So let's go now to just some videos of these people that were fooled. I feel horribly sorry for all of these people. Clip number 3, people unhappy with the results of life-saving transition care sharing their stories. Let's watch.
My name's Rory, and I'm a detransitioner. I'm 23 years old, and I'm about 3 months off of estrogen, which I took for 4 years. I was what you would have called true trans. I presented with dysphoria for most of my childhood. Into early adulthood, I had this very sudden, very strong realization that I was just denying my reality, and it quickly became untenable for me to continue taking hormones. I'm on a stage right now, singing your favorite song, looking to
cry and nowhere to be found as they sing along. I say, you look good. Three things I wish I knew before I transitioned to male. One, that injecting myself with cross-sex hormones actually was harming and damaging my perfectly healthy body. Two, that changing my identity and changing my body wasn't actually going to heal the pain I had within myself. It was just an escape that created actually more trauma for me. Three, that it was okay to be a tomboy and not fit into society's beauty standards of what a woman was supposed to be like. That I was perfect the way I was, and I didn't need to change myself.
I started living as a female when I was 19 years old, had a sex change when I was 30 years old. I've now been living as a woman for 28 years, and I fully regret this. First off, my name is Renee Jacks, and I'm an author. I've written 8 books so far, 3 of them to do with transsexuality. I never had the full ability to have intercourse because the vagina that they make is so small. So these surgeries are nothing more than plastic surgery. The sex change didn't solve my discomfort. The doctors who are honest will say that the gender dysphoria is always there. It starts out being about your anatomy, but really what it's, you don't like yourself.
I wanted to give myself time to really explore my feelings and detransition before I shared them with you. This is what I look like. This is what I sound like as an almost 30-year-old man. This is what happens when you let people transition in adolescence before they've had a chance to grow up. Not just let, but pressure. The active pressuring of people to transition so they can preserve their femininity, which is what happened with me. I was told that if I allowed myself to age, that I would become masculine and that it would never be possible and that I would do it anyway. And that I would be a more masculine transgender person like them. And so I made the choices that I thought were right for me at the time. I did it in secret from my parents. I take accountability for all my choices. But when is the transgender community going to take accountability for theirs? For leading me down this path?
It's evil. It's just Satan. There's nothing more, nothing less. We'll go out to your calls here this second. Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to. Sorry. I knew I was going to do something here. Just continue with what we were talking about last time. Take your calls. If you want to call in, there still are some lines open. 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. We just showed the video of a bunch of people who'd been suckered into believing they were trans, convinced, seduced into making irreversible changes to their natural bodies. Because their, you know, discomfort or their, you know, lack of, I don't want to say self-respect, but, you know, they're uncertain about themselves. They're in a weakened state, right? They're in a vulnerable state. Instead of people around them trying to help them with that, trying to help them to have confidence in themselves and to understand this is just a phase that they're getting through. Instead, you had the LGBTQ plus mind virus, like whatever this is, whatever this community is, like asking for apologies from this community. It's like they did it on purpose. They did this to you on purpose. They saw a vulnerable person. And this sort of is the dividing line between all of humanity. Like when you see a vulnerable person, is your instinct to want to protect that person, to build that person up, to make them stronger so they can stop being vulnerable? Or is it to take advantage of that vulnerability to your own end, for your own gain? And it really sort of goes across the board, right? It's sort of the dividing line between like good people and bad people. Because you have to be able to put yourself in the mindset of the bad people, even though it's repulsive to any decent person, you got to understand that to the bad people, it's like you deserve this because you're weak. You deserve this because you're vulnerable. If I'm taking advantage of you, it's not because I'm a bad person. It's because you're too stupid to stop me. And it's just the way the world works. I'm smart because I figured that out. You're dumb because you didn't. Like, that's how they think. Whether it's just crime in general or like corruption at large, right? People that run our country, they're just like sending us to war. I'm like, yeah, I'm lying. Yeah, I'm benefiting from this. Yeah, I'm fooling all of these people. But if they're dumb enough to be fooled, they deserve it. And I deserve it because I figured out how dumb they are. And this is just the way it works. And it's like it's a dog-eat-dog sort of mindset where to them, they're like, I'm doing this to you because if it was the other way around, you'd do it to me. So really, I'm getting back at you for something that you didn't do. It's a weird way of thinking, but it is the way they think. It's almost like, I don't know. It's like this is their conception of like justice or something. I don't know what it is. But anyway, you've got all of these groups promoting this, supporting this, celebrating this, encouraging this, the medical community, for some godforsaken reason, going along with this, doctors being trained now to act like sex isn't a thing. Gender is somehow different. We're going to start giving pap smears to men. Like, it just going for a pregnancy checkup with your beard, your male genitalia, and they have to act like that's a normal thing. They have to play along with it. Totally absurd. But the real absurd part is not that we have these psychopaths, these predators, and these just evil people running around. It's that conservatives think they're being good or nice by playing along, that we have to actually contribute to this somehow. Let's go now to clip number 8. Hey, maybe InfoWars isn't your thing, but you're still conservative. You're still a God-fearing, patriotic American. So maybe you go to Fox News to get your information. Well, here's what Fox News has to say about the topic.
We highlight the story of Ryland Whittington, whose journey of transitioning at age 5 has been seen by 7 million people in a family YouTube video. Brian Yenis has a story about that family that hopes their experience can help others. Watch here.
If you saw me walking down the street, you wouldn't think anything different.
14-year-old Ryland Whittington is a typical Southern California
teenager. Yeah, but then you talk and your voice sort of gives the game away, doesn't it?
Along with mom Hillary, dad Jeff, and sister Brinley are a typical family.
Just your typical all-American transsexual family.
Is what this family can mean to the tens of thousands of kids under 18 who identify as transgender.
We put our story out there so people could see that, like, there's
another
family.
Be seduced into the lie.
Is going through what we're going through, or there's another family who's proud of who they are.
Before who they are. Could even speak, you're not proud of who you are. Who you are is a girl, you freaking weirdo.
Is a boy.
You got to be proud of who you are by pretending to be something else. Again, just completely insane. That was Fox News. So that was Fox News participating in this lie, contributing to this just life-ruining deception that's happening across the globe. LGBTQ plus Pride Month. Like, we're still stuck in this idea of it's like the 90s and that like gay people are being beaten up in the street for simply loving who they want to love and we have to defend them. It's like, no, dude, being gay hasn't been an issue for my entire life. Will and Grace was on the air by the time I was old enough to watch TV. Like,
was that your favorite show growing up?
I don't think I've ever seen a single second of that show, but I'm certainly aware of it. Certainly
a big
deal.
I thought we were about to become best friends, Harrison.
You're going to be the Will to my Grace. All right, let's go out to phone calls now. So, yeah, thanks, Fox News. Thanks. Well, you know, there's just going to be a time, like, shortly where it's just people that were tricked into being trans just, like, self-immolating in front of Fox News, just being like, you did this to me. Horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. All we want is for people to be able to enjoy life without the constant harassment and discombobulation. They're just the confusion and deception, taking advantage of their vulnerabilities that are very human and easily overcome. Incredible stuff. Let's go to Mike, who's in upstate New York. Mike, how you breathing up there, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Good.
I just want to say Fox News is gay. Yeah.
I don't think they would disagree. I think they're proud of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I always kind of thought so, but I'm glad they're just telling us how they feel now. At least we can know it's true.
Yeah. Incredible.
So I'm in upstate New York, and nobody's wearing masks, man. Now that there's a real threat, I mean, there's no propaganda to tell them to put on the mask, so nobody's wearing masks. So,
hilarious. Oh, now I have seen pictures of people in New York City wearing masks, but nobody around you is bothering, even though it would actually probably be nice to wear a mask if there's smoke all around you. That's totally crazy. People just could put on a mask and be like, oh, this is so much better, but they don't do it because they aren't told to do it.
Yeah, it's just funny. And hey, also while I'm on the phone with you, shout out to Ethan Schmidt, Anti-Maskers Club. Speaking of masks, I thought it was so funny. I've been following his content for a while now. And when that video came out of him, it was so funny to watch all the new truthers just say how he was like a controlled op and all this stuff. Hilarious.
He's been around for a very long time. That's very true. All right, we'll be right back. Thanks so much for the call, Mike. More of your calls on the other side. Oh, man. Ah, wow. So many stories to get to. We'll go out to your calls as well. Lord. Bunch from the transgender stuff. Imagine it'll come up with Ethan Schmidt, since sort of anti-LGBTQ activism is what he's all about. We'll figure out what he's all about. I really don't know him that well. I've seen his videos, but I want to ask him what he's really up to. We'll just quickly cover this story and then go out to your calls. This is another thing that, I mean, it would be an outrage if it was the only time this type of thing had happened, but it's increasingly becoming a trend. I feel like I should, I'll do that for tomorrow. Just go back over the last couple months and point out all of the examples of similar stories such as this. Former sheriff's deputy speaks out after jury finds her attacker not guilty. Ex-San Bernardino deputy speaks out. A Victorville man accused of attempted murder and assault with a firearm on a peace officer been found not guilty on both charges, despite cell phone video that showed the violent attack on a San Bernardino sheriff's deputy. I don't even know if I put that video in, did I? We have the video. It's like shot through the bushes, but it's incredibly brutal. Disbelief. I couldn't believe it, said Megan McCarthy, the deputy injured in the attack. I think it took a couple hours to actually hit me. The suspect, Ari Young, suffers from schizophrenia. He was found guilty of negligent discharge of a firearm, but the jury hung on three other charges: battery against a peace officer, removal of an officer's firearm, and resisting arrest. The incident took place on September 4th, 2019, in Victorville. McCarthy was responding to a 911 call for a domestic disturbance. All the information... She says, quote, all the information that dispatch relayed to me was there was a woman on the phone saying, oh, my God, get my son out of here, said McCarthy. As I'm walking up to the front door of that house, I see the front door open. Out comes the male, the suspect, and the woman who I assume is the reporting party. She has a knife in her hand. She's on the phone with dispatch. I make it just onto the driveway, and he confronts me head on. He's very, very angry. He's very upset. His fists are clenched. I walk around behind him and put his hands at the small of his back. I tell him to relax. It's okay. Ask him what's going on, just pat him down for weapons, and that set him off, and he began the assault, she continued. I don't even know if women should be police officers like this. This wouldn't have happened with a big, strong dude, but she's like a tiny woman. She's trying to, by herself, arrest a much bigger and stronger man. It's just, I don't know. I think you're sort of setting yourself up for trouble there in the first place, but regardless... Video shot by a neighbor through an upstairs window appears to show Young and McCarthy struggling. As McCarthy falls to the ground, there's a struggle over her firearm. Young is then able to remove the weapon from McCarthy. I turn and run. I run for the nearest cover I can find, which is a bush. I hear gunshots go off, and I knew he was shooting at me. Other deputies arrive moments later, and a deputy-involved shooting occurred. Young was shot several times and taken by ambulance to the local hospital. And then the guy got off, basically. They basically said he's not guilty, even though he was definitely guilty. It's on video, him doing all of the things he was accused of. But he's not. But he's not guilty, I guess. And their argument rests on claiming that the police officer was acting illegally. And again, this is just what our society does at this point. Like, this is just sort of, it seems to be the purpose of our government at this point, is just decent, lovely, reasonable people just really trying to do their best to live good lives and, like, protect themselves, are just ruthlessly attacked and oppressed and organized against, while the just psychopaths who just, like, have never contributed anything positive to anyone ever in their lives just have, like, the full support and sympathy of everyone, right? You're some psychopath that's, like, trying to stab his mother, and then when a cop comes and it's just like, hey, man, what's going on? You just, like, steal her gun and beat the crap out of her and try to shoot her, and, you know, every system of power in this country is just like, that poor man who was just innocently trying to beat up a policewoman, and this evil policewoman who dared to, what, put the guy's hand behind his back? Literally, that's literally the argument. And her, again, just any decent person, she's just like, so basically they say, you can't detain somebody just because you want to do an investigation. Yes, you can. What are you talking about? The jury instruction that the court read to the jury is that if you want to detain somebody, you have to have a reasonable suspicion they're engaged in criminal activity. Well, they were called to this location because the guy was threatening, like, his mom or some woman. So they only found him guilty on negligent discharge of a firearm. But he was released. He was completely released because of time served. McCarthy maintained she was acting lawfully throughout the entire encounter. Quote, I was called to that house. I see a situation where there's a woman in such fear for her life that she's armed with a knife. I have every right to believe maybe he has a weapon. Maybe he's done something that she's in fear. I would be derelict in my duty if I didn't investigate. I can only do what I can do. I'm a human being. I tried to do my job to help this woman, and unfortunately the suspect's actions dictated the rest of what happened, which we all saw. And now the guy's let out. I'm sure he's going to go on to be a contributing member of society. I'm sure this was a really good thing for all of us that this psychopath just, like, beat the crap out of a policewoman and took her gun and shot it at her is back on the street. Thank you, society, for upholding justice once again. Completely insane. Completely, completely insane. But it's a trend. I mean, this isn't a one-off. This is, like, what's happening now. Jasper Wu case, charges reduced for suspects in toddler's slaying. Still face stiff penalties. Basically, these two guys were having a shootout on a freeway, killed a two-year-old, killed a child, and now their charges have been reduced for whatever reason. 23-month-old Jasper is the kid's name. Just driving down the street with his mom. A bullet goes through his head. Now the people responsible, maybe they'll face some years in prison. But this is the other thing. Basically, they're no longer facing the death penalty or life without parole. So what that means is they're going to still get life, but it'll be with parole. And who knows? Maybe there will be, some sort of, like, COVID pandemic 2 years from now, and these guys' names will be on the list. It's like, well, anybody who's eligible for parole, just let's let them out. That's what's happening these days. So I don't know. Maybe I'm an extremist here. I think if some random stranger kills your two-year-old, not only do I think that those people should be put to death, I think you should get to do it and you should take as long as you want. Like, I think at that point, that person has abdicated. They have surrendered all of their rights, all of them, to living, to not being tortured to death like that. You know, you killed a kid, so sorry, you're not a person anymore. You're an animal, and you're less than an animal. We're not allowed to torture animals. I think they should be tortured to death. I think that would stop a lot of crime from happening. And I think it would give at least some semblance of closure to the person. I just like to put myself in the position of these people. I have a 2-year-old. If anything happened to him, we're just driving down the street one day and bullets start flying through our cars, and he's taken from me forever. I mean, at this point, I don't know. Do you even go to law? Do you go to the justice system to try to get justice for this? Is that justice for these guys to just live off the state for the rest of time? I don't know. Seems to me like justice in this instance would be like breaking on the wheel or something, like medieval style torture, where it's like scientifically sort of accurate to where like it caused the most amount of pain. Right, because you don't want them to pass out. That's like cheating. I don't know. I mean, that's just me. I'm not calling for violence here or anything. I'm just saying, if it was me, being killed by the state would be a very merciful end to that person's life. You know, I haven't plugged once this whole show. It's so stupid of me, because obviously we're not going to be here if you don't go to InfoWarsStore.com. I like being able to talk about this stuff. I like being able to spread this news that no mainstream media will touch with a 10-foot pole, and even alt media is hard-pressed to actually tell the truth about. Not us, though. We say just what's the truth, what we believe. It, of course, all comes from a place of love. Sometimes love has to be brutal, just the way it is. So if you enjoy that this outlet exists, the Alex Jones Show, the War Room, the American Journal, all of the great content creators at Band.Video, like Greg Reese and John Bowne and Red Pill TV and, I mean, Matt Baker. I mean, my God, the number of people we have on that platform is incredible. All of it is brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. If you're in the Northeast right now, might I suggest you try out for yourself the Alexa Pure Breeze? Might I suggest that you have a high-quality, extremely powerful air filter to clean out your air just in case? I mean, just in case something happens. But seriously, it would help. It would help, wouldn't it? Not breathing in not just the smoke from the wildfires, but then the chemicals that they spray on that in order to stop it. Make sure to get your Alexa Pure Breeze today. And of course, Survival Shield X3 will be off out of sale. Like, it won't be on sale anymore, probably later today. So go now. If you want to get Survival Shield X3, now is the time. Do not wait. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get the massive discount, 25% off. On Survival Shield X3, your very, very last chance to get that savings. Stock up while you can. We're just going to have phone calls this segment. We'll be joined by Ethan Schmidt in the next. Let's go first to John in Ontario. You have an alternate explanation as to why these fires started. I'd love to hear it. I'm open to suggestions here. John, thanks for calling in.
All right. Hey, Harrison and all the info warriors out there. Hope you're all doing great. Just before I get into that, I just want to say I was in my cupboard, you know, like sometimes you put some pair of pants on and you find like $20 in there you didn't know you had, and you're like, oh man, this is awesome. I opened my cupboard door and I had full bottles of X2 in my cupboard, and I was like, man, this is like find $100. This is great.
it's like Christmas in June. That's very nice. That's excellent. Yeah, maybe you have little InfoWars elves dropping things off for you.
So, a different perspective is, for me, like, I know, like, we look at this video footage and we see, like, this can't be, this is not the temperature, this happened in the morning, it's not too hot, it's not, things aren't happening in some natural way, so it's an unnatural thing, and, but to me, it's like, this is the Northeast. In Canada here, the Quebec and the Eastern Coast, they're all, like, pro-Trudeau. They voted him in. Basically, they got him in back in, even after we found out about all his corruption and all the stuff he was doing. So it doesn't make sense to me that, you know, even other nations would attack that specific part of the country, or that our own government did it. Maybe arsonists, but why would they attack their own territory? These are their strongholds in terms of politics. To me, you know, I see... it says the way of transgressors hard in the Bible. I think it's like a judgment thing. I think this unnatural thing, like it might be judgment through, you know, like God tempted David through the devil, it says in First Kings. So it's like it's happening still through the system, But there's a reason this is happening. These people have completely denied our nation from having proper leaders.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about supernatural retribution. I hadn't thought about that. Maybe there's something to it. Interesting take on that, John. I mean, clearly,
yeah,
something's happening here. Final thoughts?
Well, for sure. I mean, there are a lot of things going on we don't know. I'm sure most people don't know that in 2018, hundreds of stars disappeared from the sky. And, you know, no supernovas, no, like, blah, 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 and all from different parts of the sky. Just boom, one day they were there, one day they're gone. The vanishing of these stars is, it says there'll be signs in the heavens, signs of the earth. You know, Jesus talked about quote-unquote climate change because he said all the earth is going to go crazy at the time towards the end times, the final generation. So we see these signs happening, and NASA's explanation for those disappearing stars was that, it was aliens are obscuring the stars. That's what they literally said. This is an official NASA explanation. But we know something else is going on. It says Revelation 12 that the place of the fallen angels will be taken out of heaven, and the place is the stars. So those stars disappeared. They're gone. It's the Revelation 12 sign fulfilled. And so that's how I see it.
Okay. I hadn't heard of that, but kind of creepy. I'm looking into it now. Interesting stuff. All right. I'm going to have to look into that. Yeah. Fascinating. Thank you for that call, John. You might have sent me down a rabbit hole a little bit later. Well, this is different. There's sky glow, which is just like artificial light, you know, obscures the stars, but there's others, like some of the universe's stars have gone missing. That's an article from space.com. But I don't know. Other people tell me space is fake and gay, so I guess we'll have to get to the bottom of that. Let's go to Fed Up in Nova Scotia. You have friends that are losing homes in the fires. Thanks for calling in, Fed Up. You're on the air.
Hi, Harrison. I really appreciate you taking my call. I am so fed up because and just listening to you, the guy that just called is just like really makes me angry because this is definitely new world order terrorism. These were orchestrated fires. They were engineered. I'm going to read you two posts that were on my Facebook just proving that these were set. They were basically kept going, and they kept the people away. The road, the 103 here in Nova Scotia, is still closed, and you have to be escorted to get to one place to the to another.
Okay, go ahead and read those
one end
for
to
us.
The other.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, so one of them is, it says, my group of men experienced the same on the Shelburne side. Two vehicles arrived from Cape Breton with DNR workers. They arrived in an SUV and a car, not even a truck. But the thing is, they had no gear with them, no firefighting equipment. They were told that there was a flare-up, and they said that they would take a walk and look and make it look like they were doing something. Off they went with nothing in hand, no shovel, no hose, no nothing. During the day, this is supposed to be their jurisdiction. I'm so thankful that these men have taken this into their own hands. These volunteers have had to fight this on their own. And now here's another one. Our experience on the Shelburne side of the fire was the same. Just spoke to Kevin. There are no Department of Lands and Forestry employees on the ground fighting fires at the Ingomar Harbor and Gunning Cove Fire Department. Not one. They drove around in their vehicles and tell the volunteers what to do. They are not listening to them. If they did, houses would have been saved or not would not have been lost. It is so bad that men are rigging this, and when I say men, these are the local people, are rigging up large bait boxes on the back of their personal trucks, filling them up and hooking them. Where does it say? Hooking up pumps to put out the fires around their own homes and along the roadside. Poor DNR staff were sitting on the tailgate of a truck, no firefighting gear on as a fire was behind one of them. So they're just sitting there. It's a controlled burn. These are like drills gone live where they had a fire drill and then they just let them burn. And where I'm at, 20,000 people were evacuated. They weren't allowed to go back to their homes, and then they just let stuff burn. And a lot of the locals were just trying to save their own homes, but they had to go through the woods around where these checkpoints were, and there's still checkpoints everywhere. so they could try to get to their houses and keep them from burning.
Wow.
So it's a land grab. This is definitely, you know, God has nothing to do with this, other than trying to save us. But God didn't set these. These were not because of, you know.
So basically what you're saying, I mean, this is reminding me of, we had a caller from New Mexico back when the New Mexico wildfires were burning, and he was saying exactly the same thing. He was a native guy, and he was like, we know the back trail, so we're able to get around the roadblocks. But basically, yeah, if they had followed the orders of the authorities and not, you know, returned to their house would have burned, but they were able to get back and save it. So you've got the government not doing anything to fight the fires, but they are setting up roadblocks and preventing the citizens themselves from going in and fighting the fires. That's insane, but it sounds exactly like the New Mexico citizen that called us last year about the fires that were a prescribed burn that got out of hand, as reported by everybody and admitted by the investigators. So
yeah, well, I think these were deliberately set, especially the ones in Quebec where they all came out at the same time, but the ones here in Nova Scotia were, you know, one here, one there, and then all of a sudden there was like 10, 15, and then they were out of control. But there's a YouTube video that you need to post. It says, Nova Scotia massive forest fires, what you weren't told while your homes were burning down.
Interesting. Okay, we'll grab that. Man, if anybody's on the, I mean, you've got a cell phone. You've got to capture this on video because, I mean, that could set the whole narrative.
Followed by the year's second new big balloon, Raggedy Ann.
Once upon a time, America placed supreme importance on innocence.
You having a good time?
Yes.
What do you like best?
I don't know.
It was at the heart of American culture. It was such a given that protecting innocence was basically unnecessary.
Thousands of children of all ages braved their rainy weather today to watch the 57th annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Presently, in the era of wokeness, a cancer has infiltrated America at the root stem of all that we as American citizens hold sacred, our children. The normalization of the sexualization of children is running rampant.
Nickelodeon SpongeBob SquarePants has invited his pet snail, Gary.
What seems business as usual every Thanksgiving at the traditional Macy's Family Value Celebration in New York City now serves as a template hosted by local news MCs in California.
Pride it's a protest. It started as a protest, and it's still a protest.
And they want to challenge the next generation to be leaders and to step up and get involved.
And also, you know, it's going well beyond just the June month, right?
Yes.
So showing that we can celebrate Pride any time of the year.
Organizers say the day's events are 100% family friendly.
What is Pride? Is it the celebrated sexualization of everyone and everything? Because for most people, that is a nausea-inducing environment. You sure as hell don't see heterosexuals fornicating in the streets at the Macy's Day Parade in front of their children.
Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade.
While real hate, mass formation psychosis, and government-backed totalitarian vigor energize the woke left into a dangerous mob.
Somebody want to shoot from the head.
Is that a threat?
Somebody's going to do that to you because of all this hate.
Is that a threat?
I'm not going to do it. I'm telling you what's going to happen to you one day when you're saying it's the wrong.
You should be on the side of folks who are woke because we're saying no more oppression against our community. So whatever else is being thrown around, unless you are saying I'm racist, white supremacist, and I'm bigoted, stop talking about wokeness. And you can't tell me that I'm wrong because I'm from the very movement where this came about. Don't let a fascist tell you what being woke means.
This neo-Marxist mob will not adhere to the demands of millions of parents across America. Parents simply stating, live your lifestyle, but leave our children alone. The pushback is increasing.
Protect our children! Protect our children!
But don't be confused. This isn't a pseudo-insurrection on January 6th. This is Papa and Mama Bear versus the system. Meanwhile, Pride events infect elementary schools.
Happy Pride Day!
While a religious protester's First Amendment is violated in broad daylight, as clueless and decimated, local police are caught in the middle of total Sodom and Gomorrah madness.
You know who's cheering for us? The people that are in hell. So you do you, and I'm going to do me. This is public property.
This police officer is actually completely useless. He serves only to advocate for child sexual abuse, a crime. At the end of the day, Pride Month serves only one purpose, because the time to respect the gay lifestyle is no longer its purpose after our children literally became its target.
No God, no state, no patriarchy. That's what it's about, huh? I won't say it, but kind gods, no God. That's what it's about for these people.
Pride Month now serves to destabilize the American family, and more importantly, the patriarchy that sits idly by.
I think that women, white women in particular, want to protect this patriarchy here. Most of the women in some of these studies are married white women.
As the United States careens into a monolithic, woke, ideological system where the family is on a slippery slope to become the property of the state. And once that happens, all property is next.
It is my vision to take the next step to this, to go to the faith-based locales, and then move to private residence.
History is truly at a turning point.
Then, after many more have been sacrificed to the burning pyres of Moloch in a horrific technocratic New World Order endgame scenario, the history of humanity will once again repeat itself, or it may finally stop. John Bound reporting.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of American Journal has begun. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. InfoWarsStore.com is where you go to support us in this mission to bring you not only bombshell information, but also top-of-the-line guests. With me now is Ethan Schmidt, provocateur, some would say an infamous provocateur, who challenges mandates and norms by confronting people who mindlessly comply. He can be found on Telegram at t.me/EthanSchmidt24. Thanks so much for coming on with us, Ethan.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you, InfoWars, for giving me a platform, great.
Well, we've obviously seen your videos, and I was actually familiar with you from a while ago. I mean, you've been doing this for a while. People will probably know you from probably your most famous video, where you're marching through Target and you take down a pride sign. But you've done a bunch of this. You've done it, quite a bit. Some people call you a domestic terrorist. Other people just think it's funny, kind of trolling. I don't see what the big deal is about it. Like, people are just act like this is like dangerous or something. It really reminds me of people in high school used to do just like for fun, like knock things off shelves in stores because like it's just like kind of a prank thing. But just tell us, what are you up to? What are you doing when you go out to Target and do this sort of stuff or other places? Like, what's your message? What are you trying to achieve by taking part in, I don't know what you'd call activism? I don't even know what to call it. What do you call it, first of all?
Yeah, well, I like to stand up for the people that, but most people, they have too much involved in the system. If they speak out or do anything like what I'm doing, they'll be completely canceled and destroyed. And most people work for corporate, So I just go and expose woke at, I've exposed like many places like PetSmart, like Barnes & Noble. It's been going after those places lately. Because infield is king, IRL is king. We need more people taking action. So that's what I'm all about, So.
So this is the video. It's probably the most famous one. You're taking down a rainbow sign that says "Take Pride," probably in the children's section of Target. Now, obviously, this blew up when Target started, selling bathing suits that were tuck friendly for toddlers. Just incredibly creepy. That got a lot of attention on Target's Pride push, and I guess that video was sort of resurfaced during that time. When was that video taken? Do you know exactly?
Yeah, I started the war on Target many years ago. That video was June 2021. And it recently resurfaced. People thought it was recent for some reason. Like, Tim Cass thought it was recent. All these people thought it was recent. I'm not sure if they knew it was not recent or what, but I've been exposing Target for a long time. But the thing is, why are people just now speaking out against Pride? Why why do we have all these conservatives just now speaking out against the Pride agenda? And, you know, the real reason is because now you don't get banned for anti-Pride rhetoric, anti-LGBT rhetoric on big tech, you know. For the last, you know, 3-4 years, you know, you'd be banned if you spoke out against Pride and against LGBT. So it's kind of interesting that people are just now speaking out. We're a little bit too late. Same with the mask and the vax, you know, we're a little bit too late in speaking out. And that's how, you know, that's how they control the narrative is, you know, they make people self-censor because, you know, most people, you know, especially all these conservative influencers and, you know, desktopers and podcasters, you know, they just care about keeping their platform. So they'll do anything to keep their platform. So that means, you know, only speaking out when, you know, the terms of service allows it. So that's very dangerous. That's how they control the narrative.
Do you think that's what it is? Because I've noticed that, too. I was asking this question on the show yesterday. Like, what is it about this year that people are so up in arms about Pride? Pride's been a thing for like 20 years. Usually you just sort of roll your eyes and whatever, just like, you know, that this is going to be the month of June. You're going to have to just see a bunch of this stuff. But this year, for some reason, everybody's like up in arms against it. To me, it just seems like it's because they pushed too far. Like, it finally got to the point where Bud Light is hiring some, you know, man dressed up like a woman to sell their beer, and Target is making tuck-friendly things for toddlers. And it's like, do you think it's because of the censorship, or do you think it's because the agenda has finally pushed so far that normal people can't just ignore it anymore and are like, all right, we have to stop you. We have to stop you, people. You've gone too far.
Yeah, I think it's both, but we're a little bit too late, in my opinion. But, you know, we've been doing some damage, so it's been good. Yeah, it's been good, though. Yeah, finally speaking out, so that's good.
Well, I mean, obviously, I can't co-sign or endorse doing material damage to a global corporation. I mean, people have to feed their families after all. But, you know, according to the stores themselves, they seem happy to sacrifice merchandise on the altar of social causes that they believe in. Do you really think that they're sincere about, you know, getting upset at you for knocking over their sign when you have Black Lives Matter burning entire stores and getting billions of dollars from Target for doing that? I mean, do you even take their outrage seriously anymore?
Yeah, well, I forced, you know, statements out of PetSmart, you know, out of Target, multiple statements out of Target. And, they don't care about profits anymore. They already have unlimited money. They just want to, yeah, this is a controlled destruction of America is what it is, really. And, so they don't care.
Let me just, so for, you know, for people that watch you and sort of get it, you know, that needs no explanation, but for people who probably haven't heard from you and see you go, and they're just like, oh my God, it's so hateful. What he's hates gay people. So he's destroying their rainbow sign. Like, can you explain to people why this is something that you feel so strongly about? Like, why seeing a rainbow sign at Target would make you want to take it down? Again, I get it, but just,
yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm president of the Anti-Maskers Club. You know, I started, you know, going all out against woke and the New World Order. You know, I was fired from my job for not wearing a mask, you know, like persecuted, you know, the last 3 years. So, yeah, I go after anything woke, anything New World Order, you know, the mask, the vax, you know, corporate, you know, pride. You know, I go after all this stuff. It's not most of my, you know, a lot of my most viral videos, you know, are, you know, going after pride because, you know, nobody else was or is hardly. So, you know, but yeah, I do everything. Everything woke I go after. So,
well, but that's what I mean, right? It's like for a lot of people out there, you know, it's just like, well, it's just people loving who they want to love. Like, why shouldn't they be proud of themselves? Like, What offends you so much about Pride? Just other people living their lives, Ethan. Like, well, why would you have to go after them?
Yeah, they think. That's the thing. They think that, you know, I hate gay people, or we hate gay people. You know, we don't hate gay people. We hate the agenda. You know, it's, and they can't wrap their heads around that. And they think the rainbow is, you know, a rainbow of inclusivity, but actually the rainbow flag is literally the flag of Satan. So, you know, we have a moral obligation to call it out whenever we see it. And the thing is, you know, nobody cared about, you know, Pride. The Pride rainbow wasn't a thing until, you know, corporate and big tech and the government started pushing it back in, like, I don't know, what was it, 2016, 17, 18. You know, at first, for me, at least, I first saw it, you know, pop up on Snapchat, the Snapchat filters, and then it slowly progressed from there. And ever since I saw that, I was like, yeah, this is not good. Like, I'm going to be speaking out about this. Even back in like 2017, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to take this. So, it's all pre-programmed. Nobody cared about Pride or the Pride flag until it was, you know, it's a PSYOP that was unleashed on the United States to, you know, demoralize, you know, dehumanize and, you know, destroy our society, which is, it's worked very well.
Well, no, I think you're right about all of that. Obviously, I'm sort of playing in a very real way, playing devil's advocate here with you, because I do want people to like understand this, because if you just see this as like, oh, he's just a troll and he's just, you know, being edgy, or he just hates gay people, then you don't get, you know, what's really happening here. And I think people need to understand what the flag represents and, you know, what these people and these corporations are doing to us on purpose. And if you can bring attention to that, I think your work has been incredibly effective. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My guest is Ethan Schmidt. He can be found on Telegram at t.me/EthanSchmidt24. And we still have a lot of stuff to talk about. People know him. He's caused a big splash because of these resurfaced videos that he actually did years ago, just going through and, you know, taking down Pride signs in places like Target. And I guess there's part of me that's like, you know, you deal with monsters long enough, you become a monster. Like, it's funny that I want to be careful not to seem like I'm encouraging people to go out and start breaking things at Target. And then you look at the left and they're like, oh, Black Lives Matter burned down a whole Target. Well, that's just merchandise, sweetie. Get over it. We're going to burn more and you deserve it and give us what we want. So it's like, you know, part of me is just like, well, these are the new rules. This is it. Direct action. You wanted this world. You got it. Now we're going to do what you've been doing this whole time. The left is deconstructionist. The other side of me is like, hold on, we can't fall to their level. I'm sort of torn about this, but at the end of the day, I can't take their outrage seriously when it's you just taking down a sign versus everything that they do. So, like, I mean, has there been any repercussions from you like from doing this other than just like having a bunch of news articles written about you? This is what Target looks like after Ethan Schmidt gets through with it. Ethan Schmidt came through here and wrecked the place, and he must be stopped. He's an absolute menace. No, obviously that was Black Lives Matter, but yeah, compare that to what you do. So again, just what's your like take on that? I mean, do you consider this what Antifa calls direct action, just like going out and doing things because you can?
Yeah, well, you know, after January 6th, conservatives are, you know, too scared to show up anywhere. Like, people are too scared to show up and have rallies at the Capitol because they're like, oh, they're going to put you on the FBI's watch list. Like, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, we need to step up our game. You know, I support any infield patriot that's, you know, willing to put themselves out there in real life. You know, you can't just tweet and, you know, just commentate and think you're going to win. We need people actually going out there, you know, confronting, you know, the enemy. And, you know, we got great people out there doing that, like Laura Loomer, you know, we got Alex Rosen, you know, Owen Schroyer, you know, calling people out. We need people at these rallies. You know, we're like the only ones, you know, we show up to these leftist rallies and we take them over, you know, we take over the whole rally. There's like hundreds of people, you know, one of us shows up, we take over the whole thing. You know, we need more people doing that. And we need to take action. That's it. Take action. Just show up. All you have to do is just show up and good things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wish more people would just do it in their, you know, daily existence. You know, there's a thing like the Dodgers were hosting this like group, this drag queen group. The only reason they exist is to mock Catholics, right? They're just an anti-Catholic group, anti-Christian group. And yet they're treated like they're being given awards by the state and all this sort of stuff. And to me, it's like, put it in any other group, any other dynamic, and you don't need a justification for wanting to resist this stuff. Like, you wouldn't have to use the typical example, right? You wouldn't like let Nazis have a rally at Dodger Stadium because they just exist because they hate Jews. Like, so you don't need to explain. Like, people act like it's weird that you are going after this group that really only exists because they are against you. They're against Christians. They're against like traditional families. They're against us. Like, we don't need an excuse to just oppose that.
Yeah, we're clearly entering the end times, and you know, the step one was the mask, you know, step two was the vax, you know, to test out, you know, the next step is the mark of the beast. I really think that. Yeah. And, the thing is, you know, and what also upsets me is like, you know, most of these conservative people, you know, they all wore the mask, you know, like that makes me mad, you know, like, you know, it's most people wore the mask, even people on our side, which is very upsetting. And, we need to step up our game here, man. So, you know, it can snap just like that. You know, people will be wearing the mask tomorrow if there's another mandate. So
yeah, absolutely. And you know, I wish there were more people at Target who just refuse to go along with it. You know, if they're told to like go set up the pride display, if there's like actually this is against my religion, so I'm not going to do that. Like, you can fire me, and then we can go to court about you discriminating against me, refusing to participate in your religion, because it's not my religion, or, you know, you can, or not putting the pride thing up. Like, but I guess people don't want to lose their jobs. I mean, that's a lot to put on people. I love that people like yourself do it, but what would be your advice for just normal people that don't like this stuff, but also, you know, can't, you know, I don't want to and my kids go hungry because I, you know, I'm knocking things over at Target. Like, what can normal people do just so in their everyday life?
Yeah, that's been a big problem most people have, you know, they have too much involved in the system. If, you know, if they refuse to wear the mask, you know, they would be fired. You know, they got families and all that stuff, you know. You know, if they speak out, you know, they get fired and canceled. So I don't know what else to say, but, you know, you need you know, just put yourself out there, you know, I mean, or at least if you can't join the fight, fund the fight, you know, donate to me so I can fight for you, because, you know, you got too much involved in the system. So, you know, that's the only other solution I see is funding patriots that are actually willing to go out in field. You know, stop subscribing to all these podcasters, these desktopers that just talk about crap, you know. You know, go out, fund people like me. You know, I'll put myself out there, you know. You know, I have nothing to lose, everything to gain from doing this, you know. All glory to God, you know.
Amen. I mean, people are realizing how effective this is. Jose Vega is like confronting people all the time. Just last night, James Comey was here in Austin. Owen Schroyer confronted him. The ladies at the Liberty broadcast stood up and asked him a very uncomfortable question. Those videos are at band.video. But this is something totally legal to do. I mean, you know, whether it's the deep state actors going on book tours, like they shouldn't be able to show their face anywhere without being called out as the deep state murderous psychopaths they are. So I see all of this as part of a continuum of activism, just not putting up with it anymore.
Yeah, and a lot of times these people do get away without any opposition, you know, zero IRL opposition. You know, that's what we need. We need IRL people out there. And yeah, these people get away too much. So,
yeah, IRL in real life.
Something, you know, makes a huge wave, you know. So,
you know, it's interesting. If you burn an American flag, that's legal because the American flag sort of represents your right to burn it in an interesting sort of ironic way. What does the rainbow flag represent? Because if you burn the rainbow flag, you get a hate speech crime like that. That doesn't represent tolerance or, you know, a diverse array of opinions. It represents submission to them. And if you oppose it, you're a criminal, right?
Yeah, the pride flag, like I said, yeah, the pride flag is the flag of Satan, literally. And, you know, it's kind of scary, like, you know, looking at all the responses I get online. I hardly get any support. You look at the comments of these people, I feel like they're not even real. They're like, they're openly supporting Satan now. And, you know, I confronted that Target employee that's like, mm-hmm. You know, I asked her if she supports, you know, the satanic pride propaganda, and she's like, yeah, I support Satan. And I'm like, well, what's God gonna think of that? She's like, oh, I don't believe in God. And the comments under that, you know, that video has like 100 million views on, but you know, the comments under that are like, oh, she's such a queen, you know, she destroyed him, you know, give her a kiss. And you look at the profiles of these people, they all have like, you know, trans flags, pride flags, you know, BLM in their bio. But I can't believe These people are apparently out there. They might be upgraded bots, but you know, these people are openly supporting Satan now. So,
well, it's fascinating, extremely entertaining, and apparently extremely effective. Ethan Schmidt on Telegram. Ethan Schmidt 24 is the Telegram channel. Thanks for being with us, Ethan. We're going to go to your phone calls here for the remainder of the show. Talk about a few other stories. You know, I've said it a million times, but the truth is that you don't win a war by killing all of your enemies. War, at the end of the day, is a battle of morale. And a much bigger, stronger, more well-prepared and well-funded and armed force can be defeated if they have low morale, if they don't believe in what they're fighting in, if they have nothing to unify and extol them towards combat. It's all about morale at the end of the day. So I try daily to sort of to walk the tightrope of, we got to tell you about this horrible stuff, but only if it serves the purpose of, you know, informing you about what you need to fight in a way that doesn't demoralize you. And so there are a few, and, you know, I value that over things like number of views. Because there are some things that are just horrible that happen that I know I could probably, a very successful video by just showing you just the worst things in the world. You know, some, you know, all caps headline that's just like, watch now this awful thing. And I tend not to do that because it's more important to me that we have a show where we can talk about this stuff and people can come here and watch it and not feel like sick to their stomach when they leave and feel hopeless and feel disgusted at what they've seen. However, there's a flip side of that, which is some things won't be shown anywhere unless we show it. And this is one of those events. And I feel like you have to know what's coming. You have to know what's here. It's not even coming. It's here. It's happening right now. And I got to show you this video because I'm not sure you can understand it without seeing it. Even though I don't like showing stuff like this, it is happening, it is real, and nobody else is showing it. Even on Twitter, people are going, I'm not going to post this video, but let me tell you about it. Let me show you a screenshot from it. But we're going to show you the video. The story is at AP News. Four very young children critically wounded in knife attack in French Alpine town. As bystanders screams for help, a man with a knife stabbed four young children at a lakeside park in the French Alps on Thursday, assaulting at least one in a stroller repeatedly. The children between 22 months and 3 years old suffered life-threatening injuries. Two adults were also wounded. The suspect, identified by police as 31-year-old Syrian refugee, was detained in connection with the horrific attack in the Alpine and lakeside town of Annecy. French Prime Minister Elisabeth Borne said he had refugee status in Sweden. A prosecutor leading the investigation said the man's motives were unknown, but he did not appear to be terrorism related. Well, that's a unimportant distinction, as far as I'm concerned. Here's a man from Syria. There's no right, privilege to be in Europe at all. Only arrived in Europe by claiming refugee status that he clearly doesn't deserve. And the people that have paid the price for it are four children under the age of three who now have lifelong scars. Some may lose their lives. And you can only imagine the mental trauma that this is inflicted on them. I guess you have to ask yourself the question, like, what is worth making sure this never happens again? Are you willing to be called racist if it means that just one single child doesn't have a knife driven through their body? Are you willing to, let people from Syria just continue to live in Syria if that means that innocent children are left alone? We really have to, consider the outcome of the policies that are pursued, who is pursuing these policies, and honestly, punish not just the so-called Syrian refugees that are here, but I think what should happen is we got to actually figure out like who brought this guy, what NGOs carried him into France, who provided him the lawyer to make the dishonest refugee stat. Like everyone involved in the process, just like you would arrest the driver of a bank robbery, every single person at every step, including perhaps the politicians that opened up the borders for these guys. And every single one of these have to be held accountable for the part they've played in this horrific crime. So we'll play the videos now. The video, clip number 4 here. Here's the Syrian asylum seeker running around in a playground in France, stabbing children. Let's watch. There he is. He has sort of the Arab headscarf thing, carrying a knife. You see a mother desperately trying to run away. Here, at least one bystander comes out with a backpack and tries to hit him. This guy's actually brave. You can see at least 3 other men in this video. This is the only one who actually tries to do anything, although his effort is half-hearted. The mother trying to fend this guy off as he rushes at and stabs a child. There's a man jogging by. Don't even know what's happening. With the backpack. At least the guy with the backpack tries. Total hero. I mean, you know how dangerous it is to... Yeah, well, we don't know if it was a man or a woman with the camera. But at least we have the footage. At least we can see it. Again, this guy should never be there. 6 injured in knife attack in southeast France. Just the latest and just a litany of horrors from just terrorist attacks, just, bombs going off in Manchester, just Sweden, the number one country for rape in the Western world, all of it, because European people somehow got tricked into thinking that their very existence is evil and that by wanting to have a safe and homogenous homeland is somehow off limits to them and them only. I don't know. Are you willing to be called racist? Are you willing to be called anti-Semitic if it means that by firmly standing against this madness, children can live their lives without being stabbed to death? Or are we just going to keep being demoralized into surrendering everything to these psychopaths? The Syrian guy may be the one with the knife on the playground, but he's only there because of the people in suits in the halls of power. Just be aware. Be aware. Hey folks, final segment of American Journal. InfoWarsStore.com is where you go to support us. Ending very shortly is the X3 sale, the tri-iodine triple iodine tincture. Incredibly powerful stuff. I know it sells out fast and sells out even faster when it's on sale. So go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get yours today. Also, a lot of good reasons why you should have an air filter these days. You're in the Northeast. Well, the fires are giving you all the reason you need to have a way to effectively, powerfully clean the air in your home. But it's not just that. You know, more and more, as the mainstream media and the people in authority have actually finally deigned to care about things like PFAS, you know, they're realizing how it spreads and how you can be taking in these estrogen-mimicking, hormone-disrupting chemicals. And one of the main ways that people ingest this is by breathing it in through the air, because it's dust. Basically, you have microplastic dust. And there's a great way to avoid that with an Alexa Pure Breeze. Filter your air, and you can at least in some part mitigate the amount of PFAS that you're breathing in. Same with the water filters as well. In fact, well, yeah, anyway, we talked about it a lot yesterday, so I won't show the video, but it's RFK Jr. just saying what Alex Jones said, atrazine in the water, making the frogs gay. And the children and the human beings also, by the way. But you all know that. If you're an InfoWarrior, you know that, and you've protected yourself against it. So while we try to, you know, build the movement of human awareness to combat this at the policy level, you don't have to just do that. We do that while simultaneously protecting ourselves from these effects at an individual level. All right, so while we try to expose this information to people so we can get the popular support necessary to actually have concerted, unified policies against what's going on, you can't wait for that. And in the meantime, protect yourself. Right? We should be working to stop the asylum seekers going into Europe at a policy level, destroying the NGOs and the politicians that have opened up Europe to this. At the same time, until then, maybe take some combat classes and arm yourself. A dual strategy there. Let's go out to the phone calls now. We have Ginger in New Mexico. Ginger, are you I understand you're a teacher. I want to talk about the push for LGBTQ stuff in school.
Hi, Harrison. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm in Rio Rancho, which is like a bedroom community of Albuquerque. And, of course, you know, New Mexico is very liberal, and Rio Rancho is a little conservative-leaning. The school I worked in this past year, I did notice a sticker walking by the library with a rainbow, and it said safe space. And I thought, well, here's the agenda happening. I wonder how that sticker got there. Well, it wasn't until a couple weeks ago when I was relocating to a different school within the same district that a very similar rainbow sticker in a very similar area was stuck in the doorway going down the hallway. Again, rainbow pushing the agenda, just a safe space. I know one is a hot air balloon. I don't remember what the other one is, but it's leading me to believe that, oh, okay, this is somebody's agenda. So I looked it up online and I saw where it had been banned in September in Florida. So this is a program that has been adopted by that. I don't know who yet because I haven't researched it as deep as I'd like to, but it's in the schools. So I'm wondering, like, how do I go about this without losing my job? Because parents don't know. Parents aren't even allowed in the schools anymore. It's
That's kind of worrying.
It's just nerve-wracking. You feel helpless. Like, do you go to the school board? Do you go to your legislature? Am I the only one that's concerned about these stickers that look like graffiti just stuck to doorways? Who's in charge of this safe place? program that is somehow being inserted into, I don't know, is it the state level? Probably. Is it government funded?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would definitely want to try to get to the bottom of that. I mean, that would be a good place to start is, I guess you have to tread carefully. But yeah, asking, you know, who put up that sticker? What is this? You know, what does this represent? What does this mean? Why is this up? Like, just trying to find out, like, who put it there and why, because this is how it works, right? This is how it always works. You have some group come in and just very quietly, like, put in these books in the library, put the stickers everywhere, and then you have parents notice and go, well, what is this? You didn't ask us for permission before you did this. And they say, well, if you want to roll it back, now you're a Nazi and you are burning books and you hate gay children, right, or whatever they say. So this is the way that they do it, right? You're seeing it just like the quiet insinuation of these tactics and things in there that they hope go unnoticed. So now you've noticed.
Right. It's so subtle.
Yeah.
It's so subtle.
Yeah. So I would definitely, I'd start asking. Say it again.
And I said the attack on our children is real. And when you're seeing it being embedded ever so slowly, but yet at the same time seems to be fairly quick, this agenda.
No, it's being extremely rapidly implemented.
Physical and mental.
Yeah, no, I think you have to speak up against it. I think you have to not be scared to push back against it. Just like, again, you know, I hate to just use the same thing over and over, but it's like when you talk about the Jews, they got something right. If a Jewish teacher saw a swastika sticker in their hallways, like they wouldn't be like, but do I say something about it? It's like, yeah, you should probably be concerned about this. You should probably be like, I'm sorry, what is this? And you're doing this to me, so stop acting defensive. I'm asking you why you're the one doing this. Like, I think if you just, you know, can try to stand up against this in a way that doesn't conform to their vision of like, oh, you're hateful and you're trying to stop children from being themselves. Like, if you just ask about it and just can, like, confront people about it, I think the fear of confronting people about this is really stopping us from getting a handle on it or even figuring out what's going on. There's something wrong with wondering what the hell that sticker is and who the hell put it there. You don't have to feel bad or feel like you're doing something wrong for simply trying to get answers to those questions. That's my take on it. Obviously, you do have to tread carefully because we know how things go here, but I certainly don't think that you have to just put up with this because you're scared of losing your job. I think you should feel very comfortable being able to ask what this is and making sure it's on the up and up and it's not some creepy, you know, policy being put into place without, you know, parents' awareness. And parents are the ones who really need to stand up for it, but if they don't see it, then, you know, maybe that would be the first step is telling teachers about that. You know, next to like teacher's night or whatever, just point it out. It's like, oh, and by the way, there's a rainbow sticker for safe spaces. So maybe talk to your kids about, you know, sexuality, because they may be getting information that you're not aware of and being told to keep it from you. Something parents might want to know. Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow. I don't know. Something like that. That'd be my advice. That's what I would do. I certainly don't think you need to feel shy about asking why that stuff is being spread. Thank you for the call, Ginger. And I'd love to hear an update to that if anything changes. Simon in Florida, we only have about a minute left, but I know you have some big NATO news. Go. The floor is yours.
Right, Harrison, this is very, very important. Please have Matt focus in on the picture that I've sent in to you guys of the podium of the man who's saying these words. There's a robotic Janus, the god of beginning and endings, who also controls the transitions from peace into war. This man is the director of the NATO Strategic Communications Center of Excellence. And today he said, a huge conference of men, women, and journalists at an official NATO event. Every person in this room is in a war here. Every person on the streets of Riga is in a war. Every person in Brussels is in a war. I hope you all recognize it. We cannot fail.
Wow, he's got this creepy kind of transhuman shape on him. We're looking at the picture right now. These are the closing remarks of the director of NATO Strategic Communications. I mean, yeah, That's good. Thank you for bringing
it's a big story. Please try and get somebody to write up an article on Infowars.com. I'll be on with Alex tomorrow.
All right, so I'm going to be on with Alex tomorrow. Thank you for bringing us awareness to this. Yeah, NATO is not at war unless you ask them. And then it turns out they do consider themselves at war with you, actually.